Blog Talk Radio.
Maya, and we have a really good guest for you today. His name is Mr. Autumn Jackson, and guess what, everybody? He's a farmer. He's on here to educate us. You know, if you want to grow your greens and things of that nature, and also he has his own business. He has his own bait farm. But, you know, before I go any farther, I'm going to ask Ms. Tamaya if she don't mind bringing Mr. Jackson on.
Absolutely. Thank you for the introduction, Mr. Brown. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and welcome Uplifting Communities Talk Show audience. It's been a minute. Happy to be back. Welcome, Mr. I believe it's Antoine Jackson. But before I get started, I just want to bring something to everybody's attention who may be listening. I don't know if you guys remember, but the USDA was set to give over $2.2 billion to minority farmers by the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. Just FYI, I submitted an application, and I recently received my denial letter. Turns out that my cannabis plants in my backyard don't qualify. But anyways, enough about that.
I'm actually a worm farmer, soil farmer. So I create soil using red wigglers, Isania sativa. And I do that using cardboard and manure and waste material, garbage. Worms eat garbage. I grew up in Los Angeles. I graduated from Dorsey High School. Shout out to the Dons. And then I went to Cal State Chico. Shout out to the Wildcats. I got into this business, one, to grow bait. I'm an avid hunter and a fisherman, and I wanted to grow my own bait. Through the course of that, I started realizing how much waste they ate, and then, you know, and I got married, my wife got sick, and then, as we all know, farmers markets will price you out over time. It's expensive eating healthy food. And then when you start to realize, again, when you look at a soil bag, it has an expiration date on the nutrients on it. That started confusing me. So I went back to looking at what we did in this country many, many centuries ago, many years ago, growing the worms to create soil and again to get rid of the garbage. So that's kind of how I got started initially.
Wow,
all right.
That's fascinating. Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So you say the Whisper Worm Farm. What made you give your business that name? What, the Whisper Worm Farm?
The Worm Whisperer, you know, Farm?
Yeah, Worm Whisperer.
Oh, it was
Whisperer
just it was a play on the fact that you know, when you're growing these worms, people, if you realize that the worm community is huge. but not everybody can grow worms. And I just got really good at. So a friend of mine was messing around when we were talking about a name for the company, and it actually came from a friend, Jennifer. She's listening. Hello, Jennifer. Jennifer Mott. And that's how the name started out, just because of the ability to grow the worms.
Hmm. Yeah, what constitutes good soil to grow worms? I mean, what do they eat? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Now, one thing I want to point out, too, is that people don't understand how soil is made. Soil is made from 80% carbon, 20% nitrogen. So when I go and physically make soil, no worms, just soil, what I typically will do is I'll use a pile of wood chips. Wood chips are great. And then green waste. I have a landscaping business that I use, and I keep the green waste. For the most part, I'll do it 50-50 just because I like the heat from the green. But that's really how I make a true soil. And if you go to my webpage, www.thewormwhisperfarms.com, you'll see some of the examples of it. But true soil is not.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, McFadden cut me off. But, yeah, so that's separate. So when you're dealing with soils, really what soil is made up of is 80% carbon, 20% nitrogen. And for people that don't understand that part, nitrogen is the green, the grass. And then the carbon is usually like cardboard, wood chips, things like that. But that's essentially the basics of making the soil with the heat process. And when you add the worm castings, this is the thing about this animal that people don't get. Worms physically eat rotten food, manure, cardboard. Literally, I'm telling you, cardboard. Worms eat this. They create what's called worm castings. Castings, whenever you hear that, it's just poop. It's just worm poop. So that animal that God gave us, Isania fetida, worm, red wigglers, eats cardboard garbage, and it creates a clean, disease-free soil. And for the folks out there that know E. coli, salmonella, that starts in manure. Worms eat the manure. But when the worm poops it out, there is no longer E. coli and salmonella. So many, many, many times I've had examples of cleaning soil through the worm's gut. And hopefully that makes sense, because a lot of folks are not understanding that part with those pizza boxes that you got.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the food waste, all the food waste. Yeah, the rotten food waste, the manure, no matter what manure, the worms eat that. And then I'll go into the lasagna method if you talk more about it.
So in other words, what are you saying? Worms has its own soil bed for you to grow the worms and make it healthy for people to buy for bait and things of that nature, like a night crawler. Okay,
yeah,
you
the
do night crawler too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're all the same in the same family. So you'll get Isania fetida, that's a red wiggler. And then you'll get Isania hortensis. That is what you're calling a night crawler. For everybody that's out there, that's a number two size hook worm. That's a big worm. But they're all composting worms. So I'll do something called a lasagna method to grow them in. And this allows them to feed and me to feed them the waste. You can plant in it too. So everything that I'm talking about, from the bait on down to the soil, is sustainable. So that worm can provide bait for you to go fish. And in its home, you could plant your food on top and know that it's going to be clean, disease-free.
So, you know, you can plant, if you got a worm farm, you can also plant greens and tomatoes and things like that in that soil?
He's trying to get it, John, exactly. But and you can also, it's what's called no-till is what we're talking about here, where you don't dig in the soil. If you know your soil, anytime you dig or dice or cultivate the soil, you're killing things. Besides just the organisms in the soil itself, there's other animals that are burrowed. But with growing worms in this no-till method, in the lasagna method like we're talking about, yeah, you could grow the worms on top of the soil, and then plant on top of the worms. So while the worms are eating, yeah, you can grow your food, you can pull your bait out. Hopefully that makes sense to you guys.
Wow. It's kind of like you're doing two things at one time. You're getting fresh vegetables, and at the same time you're getting some good worms, but so people can fish.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, you can go to the www.thewormwhisperfarms.com and you can see all that stuff. I'm not just going to throw that out there, and I show examples of all of that on that webpage. Yeah, but that's essentially it.
No, I have a question. I have a question. I imagine, well, first of all, you mentioned the red wiggler worm several times. And I imagine that there's several different species of worm. What makes the red wiggler different from maybe like, some of the other species from worms?
That's a good question. Now, remember, I'm giving you the Latin, the Icenia, right?
Uh-huh.
That red wiggler and that nightcrawler that John's talking about, that fishing worm, those worms don't burrow. It's the Lubridermis that most people will think about when they think about a worm, the earthworm. That worm doesn't compost, and it burrows, yeah. So remember, the red wigglers that we're talking about live on top of the soil. They do not burrow. Yeah, they're 90% water. They are always 99.9% going to be found in decaying matter, especially manure piles. So, again, to point out the difference, they don't burrow. That's an Icenia. The ones that you see in the rain when most people are looking at, that's a Lubridermis. That's a burrowing worm, and they're not of much use in terms of waste removal and creating, like you said, for those pot gardens, that good soil, the black gold.
Gotcha. One more question, if I can. You mentioned that the nutrients have an expiration date. How does natural products develop an expiration date if it's an all-natural product?
That's what I don't – this is the part that I ask people all the time, is when you look at a bag of Miracle-Gro, and it is everywhere. Look at the bag. It says 6 to 8 months. That's how long the nutrients last. Like, why would you grow your food in that? No, that's just something that we lack on education. We get with these diseases, and natural is used. That's not organic. But it's amazing to me that this stuff is able to sell and people plant in it regularly, even with the fertilizers and things. But they're not really hip to the fact that your garbage can actually be your fertilizer if you use these worms, and it's a clean version of what you're trying to buy that's expiring. And you're putting your food in there. You're physically doing that. But it's something that I just don't understand. But anyway, when you're using castings and using what I just thought was a green soil, that's sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
That soil is living. Yeah, it's alive. The microbes are alive. You know, there's good nematodes and bad nematodes. All the good nematodes are going to be in that soil, the worm castings and things like that, the good fungus, the mycorrhizal. And it keeps living. This is the key to it, though. You can keep feeding that soil. So if you have a pop-up garden or you have a compost bed and things like that you're planting in, you can keep feeding your waste into that. You can bury your waste into your garden, bury it and cover it, and you can keep feeding that soil. The worms are going to eat it, and they're going to poop. The fungus is going to develop from the soil itself. Soil feeds itself. So when we're talking about what we're looking at with these red wigglers, it's a sustainable soil that you can keep getting rid of your waste through, too, so we don't have to have so much in the landfill.
That's important. Very good information. Thank you.
Yes. And what about growing vegetables and stuff, okay? I know a lot of people that try to grow tomatoes, you know, and they might grow one little bit of the tomato come out, and then maybe a little bit of tomato, once a little small tomato, and it seemed like it never get red. You know?
Everything starts with the soil, John, when you look at it. You know, here's something that people don't realize. One, a seed has to die first before it can sprout. People don't know that. And then two, when you pull a plant out of the ground, you're taking nitrogen right out of that ground. That nitrogen, when it's been pulled out from that plant, you're weakening the soil. Cut grass. When you cut grass, I tell my customers, you're essentially killing the grass, and the grass has to revive. Same with the plant. So the seed has to die for it to sprout. When you pull the plant out, nitrogen's gone. But what we're talking about doing with the no-tilling, using the worm casting, creating your own soil, creating your own habitat to grow healthier food. That soil doesn't die, and you're able still to continue feeding it and get rid of your waste. You're not leaving an imprint. But I can't say enough, and I told John about this. Go look on your organic stuff now. They got that label, that appeal, e-peel, on the organic. So they're putting shelf life coatings over the organic food now, and that's a Bill Gates thing. No disrespect to Bill Gates, in case he's listening, but his people. But that is such a slick move to me now. All this cost on organic, and they're doing the same practices that essentially are killing us right now. But yet no one knows about red wigglers and creating soil sustainably and leaving less of an imprint carbon-wise, with the concern about the carbon sequestering and whatnot. We're talking about soils that keep the good carbons in and don't emit any of the bad carbon.
Wow, this is just great information. Well, I just want to inform the audience that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And if you want to ask a question or elaborate on something that Mr. Jackson is talking about, well, please press 1 and I'll let you in. Matter of fact, I got a hand up right now. Person want to come in. Whenever you're ready to start answering questions, Mr. Jackson, let me know and I'll let them in.
Oh, yeah, you guys, shoot it. Go ahead. I mean, we can talk about the new farm. You can ask questions.
Okay, let me see. Let this person in. Okay, caller from 572. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
I'm James Adams. I'm here in Sacramento.
Okay. You wanted to ask a question or you wanted to elaborate on something?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a couple of questions if I can at first. So does this help with any other animals or with a larger farming effort or growing effort as a whole, Mr. Jackson?
Hey, Adam. Yeah, I mean, in terms of if I'm getting that question right, like I can increase my yields on whatever I'm growing using the castings and the clean soil? Is that what you mean?
So what I'm seeing is that you can actually plant in windrows on the surface
and grow
all of your other products? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
absolutely. So when I build a greenhouse, essentially what I do first is I start what's called what James is talking about is a worm windrow, where you use the lasagna method and you're growing the worms. I'll build my greenhouses right on top of the worm bin. So when you're talking about no-till and contaminated soils, cement, concrete, wherever you want to plant at, utilizing the lasagna method and these red wigglers and the worm castings and whatnot, you talk about the rows from concrete, that's the reality. You can do that. I've done that a lot. Again, you're not tilling. You're just using cardboard and newspaper and manure and these worms, and you're going to grow your food on top of that. And you're going to know it's healthy. There's no fertilizer needed, there's no pesticide needed, and you can create your own pesticide. I ain't going to go that far, but again, like I said, at the www.thewormwhisperfarms.com, you'll see a lot of those examples of how that windrow works. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, no problem. My last one here is I had a chance to look at your webpage and your Facebook page, and I see that, like, you're doing rabbits, you're doing goats, you're doing what all are you doing? I mean, this isn't just about worms. This is a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. That's especially with the rabbits. As far as with the new farm goes, with the education of the youth and the innovation in the farming game, I'm using the rabbits and I'm feeding them above the worms. So I'm utilizing that poop as a worm food as opposed to just using it straight to the soil. So what it allows me to do, there's a thing called fodder for people to go and research, FODDER. I make my own soil, so that's not an expense for me other than collecting waste, the wood chips and the green grass. Fodder allows me to grow food for the rabbits, the goats, the pigs, the cows, and that cuts my feed costs. You want to see a broke farmer, you'll see his gas and his feed costs. I don't have that issue because I'm able to create soil, able to create the castings, and that increases my growth yields on whatever I do. But I grow fodder to feed the goats and things like that, and that's all part of having a sustainable soil system.
So you've got a model for this whole thing. What do you need to grow?
As far as the new farm goes, what we want to do out there is we're going to grow the worms, we're going to grow the rabbits, we're going to have an aquaponics system out there. Everything is going to be based, however, on those worms. As far as the greenhouse goes and things like that, again, we're going to grow the worms. I mean, the greenhouse is on top of the windrows. But in the future, as I see it now with the permaculture way, you see a lot of people complaining about farming right now. Farming is destroying the environment and things like that. Farming is starting to drift more back to permaculture, smaller practices on bigger farms. Having something like the Red Wiggler on the farm to clear up any kind of contamination, eat waste, and things like that. It's the model. Absolutely, it's the model. So with this new farm, especially when we get to talking about how I'm going to raise money for it, part of the innovation and education was people to come out there and go, hey, look, I saw them do this on this big farm, but I can take this back to my house, and this practice is going to work. I can grow these worms. I can do. I can teach my kids for all the homeschoolers out there. The community out there, I can take this back to my community garden. Every practice that you'll see on my commercial farm is going to be a lend to what you can do at home and how you can sustain yourself. We see these prices, and you see what's not on the shelves. I see a lot of a blight. Yeah, there's not a lot of choices. I don't understand. Go ahead, James. I don't want to interrupt your question, though. I'll go into something else that I wanted to talk about.
No, that was it. So obviously Antoine and I are friends, but I've had a lot of time to sit down and talk with him. So I learned from Joel Salatin, the guy who is the top of the, certified organic farms. Actually, he's not certified because he says either you're doing it right or you're paying government to lie. And the only person I've heard or seen who has a similar vision and knowledge is Antoine, and he's been tutoring me. So he kind of got stuck with the worms, and I want to make sure that he gives the entire vision because he's really got it. He's really got it well. And I'm going to shut up now and let y'all go on.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Thank you for your question.
All right. That was great. Go ahead to my young – I apologize. Go ahead.
No. I was just thanking the gentleman, thanking the caller for his questions. It's unfortunate that – and I'll admit it, I don't know enough about farming, truth be told. I think a lot of our people may shy away from farming because it has a traumatic resemblance of slavery, right? When I think about being in a field,
wow.
You know what I mean?
Right?
The last thing I want to hear is master hollering, you know, you're not done.
Oh,
you know,
man.
So anyways,
I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's my passion. I didn't know it was looked at like that.
You know what? I know it's your passion, but I'm just telling you my reason
right?
for never,
Absolutely.
You know, looking into farming.
No,
and it's probably other people who feel exactly the same way. I want to stay as far away from the field as possible. So thank you,
right.
caller,
no,
for
right.
your question.
Right.
I think Mr. Jackson and myself was talking about that earlier, Tamaya,
right.
about, you know, the people, you know, you ask them about farming. Well, they don't want to farm. It's because it's too much of a resembling of slavery, you know, where they don't want to get back.
Oh,
that's why we
man.
Left the farm, you know.
Right.
And so, but more people understanding that, I mean, wish that they would have picked up that skill, you know, from grandmama or granddaddy, you know, how to grow their tomatoes, how to grow their collard greens and mustard greens and things. Because I know I grew up on a farm, you know, my family was sharecroppers. Well, we left the field when I was young, but I didn't pick up nothing. I didn't learn nothing. And that's sad. That is sad. And right now today, I can't even grow a tomato.
Man,
you know?
Yeah,
and
I thank my grandmother, my mom, man. Wow.
Yeah, Mr. Jackson, you were going to say something a few moments
ago.
Oh,
yeah, this is a West Coast thing, I think, too, because they post all these pictures of the food, right? But we're scared to get on the farm. But let me tell you something. Uh-huh. If you go to a chef and you tell – you go to a baker, a chef, and you tell, hey, I got duck egg, they're your best friend. They'll be over there at your farm all the time. So while people are so traumatized by it, and I get it because you guys are saying it, they post all these pictures and then they're scared, but the person making your food is my best friend. I'm lining up chefs right now as we start to get developing because, again, I don't do any feed or any pesticides or any feed or vaccines on the animals. I've learned to either rotate or feed correctly to where I don't get disease on my farm. But I have to teach a lot of the young chefs. That's part of the education and the innovation is teaching you how to take these animals and create these recipes so you can take your own pictures. And that's part of the deal is that the chefs get it. They're out there. The bakers get it. The candy makers, they get it. But our people are really afraid of it, but they'll post the, you know, they'll post that plate up. And it blows my mind.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they'll post what they went eat and everything all on the internet, Facebook, Instagram. All over, you know, they put their McDonald's sandwiches, what they cook, and everything else, but they won't post nothing about what they grow, what actually they grow.
Yeah, no, they don't want the fresh food, like rabbit, you know, and the fresh goose. But, yeah, that's a bizarre phenomenon to me.
I don't know if I'm still on. May I speak in here one more time?
Yes, you are.
Yep, you're still on.
So what we're missing here, and this is something, so I'm going to be more honest here. Like right now I'm working on mental health stuff, PTSD, all the other stuff, and I'm finding the closer I get back to that roots of being in nature, being in green, being in growing stuff, the better my mind, mental health, physical health is. And addressing the fear that you guys have, what you're afraid of is called factory farming. That's where the government and other institutions get in. They take control, and they turn it into something else that not only destroys the food, but it destroys the farm and the farmer. When we look at smaller family-based programs, what it used to be called truck farming. There'd be a family to have 3 to 5 acres, 3 to 10 acres. They were the local egg guy. You guys probably remember the guy that had a pickup truck that came in your neighborhood when you were a kid who had something that everybody wanted to sell. Like I've got a 6-year-old son. Our project for this year was us to be selling watermelons off the back of the truck. We didn't get our crop done in time because we don't have enough space yet, but that's how we're looking at it. We don't want to be rich. We want to meet our needs, and we want to meet the needs of our environment and the people around us. And I'm going to really turn off my mic now. Bless you all.
Did you just wait a minute. Before you turn your mic off, did you just diagnose my mental problems on air? I just want to be clear.
We're all suffering from the same thing. It's what the system is doing to all of us. It's driving us into this rat race and taking us further from each other and further from humanity and further from contact with nature and further from family and peace. And this, the way that it was before 1940s, before the Dust Bowl, the other stuff was families, family-owned. The grandparents were still in the home. Everybody was working together to build something generationally. And when we look at it that way, we prosper in our own because that's what we, especially if you've got some melanin, we're designed to do.
Right.
That's the whole point of this new farm. Yeah, I mean, that what he's talking about is exactly what I want to address, not just for our community, but for anybody. There's not a whole lot of walkabout farms anymore. Like, you should be able to go to the farm publicly and walk about and look at things like that. That's aesthetics. So that's part of that whole deal with that new farm we're raising.
Yeah, and I just want to let the audience know one more time that you're listening to Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And if you want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, and I will let you in, okay? And your special host, right, well, not host, the guest is Mr. Antoine Jackson. He's the farmer. Okay, and I got somebody else. Then raise their hand. They're ready to come on, Mr. Jackson, and let somebody else on, okay?
Okay.
Call us. State your name and where you're calling from 338.
Yes. My name is Mr. Anthony T. Edwards, and I'm pretty much highly interested. I'm interested because not just because that's my cousin you're talking to. It's because we come from the farm. We come from the concrete jungle, and I've always been amazed at his drive to get into this field. And I always wanted to know how did he, what drove him there, what kind of training, what interest did he have to make him end up with this worm farm? It's fascinating to me.
All right, Tony. You forget my grandmama was an Aunt Bessie, and they were all good collard green growers. They had all those collards growing. Yeah, yeah. So I used to sit out there, and I learned how my grandmother got rid of the aphids. She's always scared of snails. That was my job, but we never had any aphids. I learned how to clean chitlins, how to make hoghead cheese, all that old country stuff.
Yeah, but I never, always contributed that to the green thumb thing. I didn't ever go any further than the worm thing. That's what I was trying to figure out. Well, how did you get to this worm thing?
Right. Well, I started realizing that when you come to making soil, when I looked at those bags, go look at a bag, Tony. Go to Home Depot and pick it up. It'll literally say 6 to 8 months. That really just bothered me. And this is like something I'm spending money on, and then you're telling me I got to come back every year and buy this thing. What in the world? And then I started finding out about the red wiggler through Uncle James, Uncle Joe, fishing, doing all that stuff. My uncle always kept a little U-band thing of, like, coffee grounds and worms in them and all. He had everything, including cigarette butts. But he was feeding the worms. But that's kind of where the whole passion came from. And then when you physically see worms eating garbage, it'll become an obsession, believe it or not.
Well, that's very enlightening because I never saw it that way, but you give me a new perspective on it. Thank you, cousin.
You're welcome, cousin.
All right. Yeah. You know, Mr. Antoine, also you was telling me about you have a garden out here in Sacramento. Quite a few people is listening in from Sacramento, California. And could you please tell them where your garden is at so they can check it out?
Actually, it's an actual farm. So we've got... I think it's like 5 acres. Yeah, we're just starting to raise it. We're going to focus on education and innovation. We're still going to grow. We're going to have the aquaponics out there. And we are looking for donations to what our permits, our setup costs, all of our fencing. And I'm looking for people that, especially in our community, that you know, you can – come to me and you have a local farm. You'll be able to get your meat, you'll be able to get your vegetables, but we can do specialty grows for people that want to, whatever it is you can think of. You know, Hawaiian ripe peppers always pop up. But it's going to be a garden that's going to be for the people. And part of that is for those that want to donate and come out and visit, I'm doing my Cash App the $ the Worm Whisperer. And that's to raise money for, again, like our fencing and our things like that. You can go to our website as well and donate at www.thewormwhisperfarms.com. Or you can contact me directly, 916-495-6756. And I want to have volunteers come out. But, again, this is nothing like this in Sacramento County, where you're going to have two black farmers out there. Aquaponics, and this guy's going to be raising 4 different kinds of variety of fish. We'll have the worms, the rabbits, everything but cows, I think. And we're going to have a meat program where when we do the cows, the community, you can split a cow with your family members, that type of deal. So new farm is going to be – but you know what? The main thing I want to start showing people is getting these guys, these young men and women out there, and teaching them how to butcher a chicken, how to butcher a rabbit, how to process it from the farm to the plate. Whether you want to deal with it every day or not, we need to understand that because our brothers on the West Coast and East Coast, Midwest and the South, you know, they're doing it. Out here, however, we don't have that education. But I really want to show the kids the ability to make money selling chickens, eggs, worms, produce. You know, there's a lot of different hustles out there that come from the farm, and I want to address every single bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Cash App at $The Worm Whisperer. I hate begging for money, but that's where we're at with raising this farm.
Yeah, well, and that, it's okay. It's okay if I ask for a donation on this show.
And my family is listening, so this is sort of what I've been going through for all these years with how many worm farmers do you know? You know?
Not too many.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
well,
what about vegetables? Vegetables and stuff. You know, you're going to be showing people how to grow vegetables like collard greens and mustard greens and things like that.
Collard greens are my thing. Yeah, so we'll be doing that. We'll do it on the farm, and then if you go to the webpage, you'll see the different community gardens that I'm working with and how I'm going to be showcasing with the kids how to plant the collards, you know, going in the winter. Collards you can grow really year-round. People just don't know that. But they're popular with the lettuce during the wintertime. So, yeah, I'm going to do it on YouTube, Instagram, live. I'm a community guy. So wherever I'm at, if you want to pop up, I'll teach you this stuff, especially the kids. You know what I mean? Young adults, teenagers, I would love to hit those guys and show them, you know, how to feed their family. Because if you can't save the money, then you don't necessarily have to spend it. These little things like the county allows you to raise chickens, you know, things like that. So I really want to address that point.
Yeah, and but you mentioned a community garden. Any garden specifically that in the Sacramento area that you're working with, let's say if one of the audience want to go and look at it and see what's going on, a pop up garden, whatever.
There's two of them. My big one, hopefully she's listening. Her name is Fatima. It's the Del Paso Heights International Garden. That's the biggest one that I'm dealing with right now. And, man, that place is in the middle of, if you're in Sacramento, it's in the middle of the city, right there in Del Paso, off El Camino and Northgate. But that is not even used. So there's a few projects around there and whatnot, but nobody's planting out there. So I'm clearing it right now to get ready for the collards. We're going to teach people how to plant collards, how to cook collards, and how to harvest the pot liquor. So we'll be doing that as well. Shout out to my friend Camille, Farmer Camille. We're going to be doing those during the wintertime out there at the Del Paso Heights International Garden. And then my local one, my favorite, is my ladies out there at Sylvain Community Garden. Sylvan Community Garden. They buy a lot of soil from me. They do a lot of education out here in Citrus Heights, near Sacramento. But those are places
that
you can go.
Okay, where is that located?
Yeah. The Sylvan is in Citrus Heights.
It's on
Sylvan and Greenback.
No, it's right in
San Juan.
Sylvan and Auburn.
Sylvan and Auburn, and I'll clarify it on the webpage or on my Facebook those addresses. Especially the Del Paso Heights ones.
Yeah.
They need some people out there. And again, I'll post it on the www.thewormwhisperfarms.com webpage as well.
Okay. And so do they have the, is it a specific time that they can go out there and volunteer or just look or bring their kids and let them see the farm and stuff like that? You know, what they're growing and stuff, the community gardens?
It's pretty well advertised. You can check them out online. I don't know what their webpage is, but it's the Del Paso Heights Garden, International Garden. And I'm sorry I don't have that information. I didn't even think about them, but they're one of my projects this year that I'm dealing with. And we're going to do a worm bin out there as well, a worm bin demonstration, and like I said, with the collards and all that stuff. But out at my farm, the one that we're raising, we'll do the butchering classes out there for the women and the men that want to learn how to process bird.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say somebody wanted to grow a farm, you know, a farm, a little garden in their backyard or on their, you know, in their pots and some pots, because a lot of people do like peppers and
mm-hmm.
you know, other stuff, you know, plants and stuff like in pots. Now, do you sell the soil? You sell good soil?
Absolutely.
Is that, okay.
Yes, sir. I sell
soils.
I sell soil that I make, the green soil. I sell the worm castings, and I sell the worms themselves. I sell worm bins. I do consulting, so I will come out and get your garden going and set up your seedlings. So I'll show you how to not only cultivate from seed, I'll bring the cuttings in and the clippings in as well.
So you don't start with actual seed.
Say again?
So we don't start with actual seed. You do clippings or cuttings. Can you explain that?
I do some of everything. Yeah, it just depends.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, some things grow really well from seed, like collards. Collards are small seeds, but they grow exceptionally well. But I will cut and graft my tomatoes as well, and I'll show different techniques on that as well. But some of the seedlings, yeah, I'll sell you starters if you don't want to deal with the seeds. So we'll do that for everything, whether it's a watermelon or an okra or marigolds.
So someone can go to your website and ask you to come out and show them how to do a garden or whatever, a garden bed, you know, so you'll come out with and show them how to do that.
Oh, John, I'm a hustler. I also do the landscaping, so I'll come out and do your edging and do your mowing and blowing too. But I do the plants. Yeah, so I just did a project where I did the lady's yard and I installed the marigolds, mulch. She wanted to do some mulch, so we actually made her mulch from her clippings and whatnot. And I put in the lemongrass. Essentially, she was worried about pests, rats and roaches and all that thing. So we did her herb garden around her house in pots, some in ground. It just depended on what we were doing. So, yeah, I do all that kind of stuff. That's the thing about farming is when you make soil and you grow food, it just opens up a whole world of different activities. Pick a project. That's what I said. It's so many hustles, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, because I'm quite sure there's a lot of people, you know, want to learn to grow, you know, like tomatoes and other vegetables, collard greens and peppers and stuff like that. And they go to actually, to be honest with you, I think that's just me personally. They go to places like Walmart or Home Depot and buy the seeds and everything, and they waste their money because
waste
they don't
money.
Get no
you
know,
waste.
Huh? Yeah, they waste their money.
Absolutely.
because
no
they don't get nothing out of it.
Miracle-Gro,
you know,
terrible. Yeah, you can't grow healthy food unless you got healthy soil. It's got to start from the soil. And all these weird old diseases that pop up, we don't pay attention enough to what and how we process in food. But then we get ignorant, too, of like we're saying now about, you know, the slavery thing. And, boy, that breaks my heart, you know. And I try to get my family motivated in it. My family was one that came away from the farm. We country, and they listening.
Mm-hmm.
I give my grandmother a hard time. I always tell her she was raised on roadkill. But the biggest mistake we ever made was getting off of that farm. It stopped the employment for our kids and my family. It dispersed us to all these different places. When if the family is together, you have a company. If you have the land, you have an industry. But, you know, until
That's
we
right.
get that mentality – Yeah, well, like I said, when you come out to the new farm, it's a testament to what I've been through, you know, and I've gone through it myself, you know, sleeping in my truck, anything to raise my vision. But the one thing I want to make sure people understand, especially in our community, is you can't build wealth unless you have your family and unless you have that land.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. So,
so
what you
going
to do with your – I wanted to ask you a question. You know, it's not about farming. It's about something else. What you think about reparation?
Man, you threw me for the ringer with that, John. That's good. I mean, you know what?
I had to put that in there because, you know, it's going to happen.
Right. It's for us as blacks, it's traumatizing. We think somebody can just come to your land and just take it. And I get into a lot of discussion with my younger white farmers. They think that it's a fair playing ground. And I get that. I get that. I can see why you can think that. But when you think about the leg up that history has shown with reparations of, you know, you I get your land right and you take it, or you give me land and I get it right and you still come and take it, that's brutal. That would devastate me. I get it. I know what land looked like and being able to go and ride my horse and ride my motorcycle outside and not have neighbors. But we miss out that part in California. Yeah, but maybe with the reparations, it'll cause people to be more appreciative of the land. We know we got a moral responsibility for this stuff, what we eat, what we tell our kids, and how we teach them. But, you know, with the reparations, it's got to go along with the training because our kids are just not learning the same things anymore. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And being able to plant tomatoes,
and we'll
you
have
you
one thing good about it is that we'll have money. You know, if that it happened, I think it will. To do some of the things that you're talking about, eating healthy, eating right, and things of that nature.
It's
now,
sustaining that. Yeah.
I hear people talk about, and there's a lot of people go out, I eat organic food. More people into organic food.
Right.
Is there any such thing as organic food?
Not no way. And when you see what Bill Gates did with that appeal, y'all have got to Google that. Go look on the organic fruit, that appeal. And let me be real. I watch organic farmers. They're still farming from the bag. So they're not out there making soil and making worm castings. They're still going to go buy government-approved soil. And that's a farce in itself because anytime you have a production on something, you're going to introduce disease. You want to introduce E. coli and salmonella, go with the manure. You want to introduce some of these weirdo diseases, then you start letting humans handle the product. So organic, to me, is another way to boost up. We were talking about the 99-cent avocado versus the $5 avocado that's now got coating on it. Come on. No. The only way we're going to get around this stuff is if we start doing it ourselves.
It's funny, I did a quick Google search here, and not only does it mention Bill and the Melinda Gates Foundation, it also mentions Katy Perry and Oprah are also behind this coding. So I'm definitely going to look more into it, but that just FYI.
The cost of eating healthy is very expensive, and then they turn around and do that to you. And like I said, even with the animals – until you process your own animal, you don't really get it. Like, I physically have had to put my own cow down and grind it up to make a burger. So I know, catch my own fish and fry it. Until you understand that part, and then you realize, like, ugh, no wonder you're getting all these different diseases. That kind of stuff, that's slippery.
Wow. So, Tamar, you were saying something about Oprah?
Well, I just did a quick Google search about Bill Gates and organic food. And in addition to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation supporting this coating of organic food, it appears that Katy Perry and Oprah are also backers of this new methodology, I guess, if that's the correct term for it. And so... yeah.
So in other words,
I just have to do more research on it.
Right. They just took the organic part out of it. There's more chemicals. We eat more chemicals than anything because I'm quite sure that coating they putting over the fruits and stuff is probably just chemicals.
So I have a question for you, Mr. Jackson, really quick before our podcast end here. How does pesticides impact our food?
One more time with that.
How does that impact our food?
That's everything because you like I said, I stress the fact that I don't use pesticides, vaccines, things like that because you're introducing things to the food, to the animal that's not naturally there. Well, I even hate that word naturally, but you cannot just assume that you're going to put something unless it's, you know, orange peels and lemon and vinegar on a food and not have it, when it goes in your body, have to be broken down a certain way. So I don't like to spray anything on any of my plants, and I use chrysanthemums. I make my pesticides from things like chrysanthemums. because I can't afford to. Somebody's in recovery from cancer. They're dealing with diabetes, and you're going to give them something that's got a pesticide spray on it. That don't even sound right.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, you can't have healthy recovery with that stuff going on. And that's one of the things that, you know, I said before with the new farm that we're going to be addressing. And again, you'll find that on my website.
And do you host workshops at your farm? And if so, do you have an upcoming schedule where people can come out and check it out live and in color? Or why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, well, sort of the whole kickoff was this interview. So this is my introduction to anybody in Sac County that's listening and anywhere else about we're going to have a real local farm in town and you can go and get your meat and get your produce from. As far as, you know, things like the classes and things like that, it's an educational and an innovation farm. So I will be hosting things like, for me, my deal is the meat processing and things like that. But no real schedule, and that'll be on the webpage. But I've already got – I'm sending my animals now to my chef. So when he does his thing, we'll have me showing different deals. My partner with the aquaponics, we'll have the chefs out there. All my baker friends and things like that. And that's sort of why I wanted to do this interview, was one, to introduce myself and then look for some of that community donation for those people that really want to be involved in a real working farm to help me kick off. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. And what about for the kids? You know, are you going to be showing kids and things of that nature your farm? You know, like a lot of times, you know, like I remember when I was working for the post office, we used to have the schools and stuff. They'll bring the kids inside the post office and we'll show them about the mail, you know, the mail system. What about, you know, you going to have that too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an open farm. So, I mean, obviously don't come up at midnight, but it's going to be an open farm where you should physically be able to bring your kids. And we'll have hours posted on the website and whatnot, but no, it's going to be a functioning farm where people just walking around wanting to look. I'll even put hay bales so you can sit down and watch the animals feed. So I'll create any kind of environment to get the kids out there to educate them and to make the parents comfortable, and including making salads. So with the chefs, we're going to be offering that kind of stuff like that while you're sitting there, free of charge for that. We'll give you a taste of the farm while you're out there. But the kids are the number one deal because we're lacking skills out here. And but, yeah, again, that's sort of the whole point of sitting down here begging and talking with you guys, and I appreciate that platform.
Yeah, well, you're not begging. I mean, this is some really, really good information that you are giving. And matter of fact, the knowledge that you have given the audience right now, it's like a course, you know, and it would cost you a lot of money in order for you to learn what you just given the audience about worms and about how to grow soil and healthy soil and to be able, you know what I'm saying, and then.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. That's it. Because how many companies that sell soil up in at Walmart and Home Depot and stuff, you know, the big bags of soil and stuff, how many companies actually come on a show or go on TV
right.
and show people how to do that? I'm waiting for you to tell me how many.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
www.thewormwithworfarms.com.
Yeah, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
On that.
So,
yeah.
You know, and we getting good information from a farmer, a real farmer, a true farmer. You know, you a real farmer. You know, anybody can say, well, I'm a farmer,
that.
But you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So
my hand stays in the dirt,
you know,
sir. Yes.
My cannabis plants don't count, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
You know
that's what I was trying to.
You use the calcium on that stuff in the worm feed.
that, that 2.2 that $2.2 billion.
That's medicine.
You know, she, you know, she was trying to get a little money for that, you know, but she only had, probably only had about 3 plants. That's the bad part, right, Tamaya?
Oh, my gosh. Enough about me. All right, before we jump off here, Mr. Jackson, why don't you give everybody your website again and where they can donate, and for everybody who's listening, if you've learned anything and you're passionate about the cause, want to pitch in and help our youth, help and help African-American families learn how to get one step closer to becoming fortified, go ahead, pull out your wallet, donate. Help us out. You'll thank us later. And go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Yep, and I appreciate that, first of all, you guys. Thank you very much. The Cash App is $ the Worm Whisperer. And the webpage, again, is www.thewormwhispererfarms.com. And my number is 916-495-6756.
Okay. All right, and really quick, can you please spell that? I know how to spell whisper. You know how to spell whisper, but everybody else listening may not know how to spell whisper.
Yeah.
So go ahead and spell that
it's,
for those who's listening, so there's no error.
Yeah, no doubt. W-H-I-S-I. Man, they got me on that. Lord have mercy. W-H-I-S-P-E-R-E-R. Yeah, www.thewormwhisperfarms.com.
Okay. Is the $ whisper form?
The $ the Worm Whisperer. That's
the
Cash App.
$ the Worm Whisperer. Okay.
Right.
The Worm.
And the webpage is thewormwhisperfarms.com. And like I said, that's the open farm. And anybody that donates, we give you whatever you want to come out and visit. I'm going to always have, I don't care what nobody say. You give me money, you're getting something. I run a farm, so whether it's eggs or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we
Absolutely.
Got 2 minutes actually left on the show, Mr. Jackson, could you please tell the audience something positive, okay, about farming?
I would say this, for whatever the culture, especially for minorities and the foreigners, this is an opportunity for you to control your food. Like, do you understand how powerful that is? You're healthy. You're eating things that you want to eat and things that you want to grow. And you have the – it feels really good to go and pick your own food and go and process your own chicken or rabbit or whatever. But it's an opportunity for you not to spend all that money and to get over the whole mystery of food. That's what it is. It's a mystery. So don't let it be – a puzzling to you. It's very gratifying, like James mentioned, to be outside planting and watching your things grow. I don't make plans. I plant seeds. So that's what everybody should do, because God laughs at our plans. So you can always call me and talk more about it. I love to expound on all things farming. But get your kids taught. These kids are not learning a whole lot these days, and they're detached from what is really a beautiful thing, hanging out with animals and watching things grow, and then being able to process that. I'm going to make some soda and wine with some blackberries that somebody gave me because they had too many. And I said, only farmers.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
But if
well,
you want
you
any recipes
any
and things like that, that's what we do.
All right. So, Ms. Tamaya, you got any thing you want to say before we close out?
No, I just want to thank Mr. Jackson again for joining the program. It's been really, really informative, and I've learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to learning and seeing more. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and the same here. And with that said, we're going to say good night to everybody. Thank you, Mr. Jackson, for coming on the talk show. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.